Particularly for our members, I want to thank you so much for remembering that our annual general meeting is coming up on March the 3rd, and today is the last Sunday to be nominating those who will be sitting around our deacon board table. I want to thank God for those that serve us. Can we thank those that serve us on the board along with your pastoral team, please? And members, please, if you would be nominating those forms, today's the last Sunday, put them into the nomination box that is in the foyer. Also, on Wednesday, that is the deadline for deacon board nominations, so appreciate you very much doing that. Today is actually the last day that we're going to be talking about that which we began at the beginning of this new year. At the beginning of the year, we always come into a series that puts us on the same page, and I think that's really a great thing to be doing as you move fresh into a new year. But today is the last day that we're going to be talking about drawing the circle. And you might remember that when we began speaking about Draw the Circle, this series with Pastor Mark Batterson, that we said we're really drawing a circle around ourselves. We're not trying to draw a circle around other people, but we're drawing a circle around ourselves. But the truth is that as we draw a circle of prayer around ourselves, and as we're encouraged in the place of prayer, and I need to tell you that over these past 5 weeks, my heart and my spirit have been encouraged in the place of prayer. My faith has been built up. There are things that I've learned, and I think as the people of God, we're always continually learning. There are things that I have learned that have inspired me to see the Lord more clearly. And even though we're drawing a circle of prayer around ourselves, the truth is that as our prayer life increases, as our communication with the Father increases, that there's a ripple effect. Now, if you've ever stood, perhaps in the morning, on a calm a river or a pond or a body of water, and you picked up a stone, you know, just when there's nothing going on, and you take that stone and you kind of throw it out into the water that's glassy, and then you notice that it goes plunk, and as it plunks, there's this ripple effect that goes on, and it just keeps going, and it's not just one ripple, but there's a number of ripples, and it can happen from a long distance away. You might even be out, for example, on a fishing boat, perhaps on a river. And you could be on that river, and perhaps you're the only boat in the area at that time, and perhaps you go out early in the morning, and there could be another boat, another vessel that that goes by, maybe even 500 meters or 1,000 meters away, and you can be on that fishing boat enjoying the beauty and the serenity of that morning, and it's just calm, and you know you're there quietly fishing, waiting for the big one, and as you're waiting, this boat like 1,000 meters away, it went by minutes ago, and your boat is calm, but all of a sudden in the boat you start to go up and down and up and down, and if you're close to shore you're going, and then you hear it, so there's a ripple effect, and as we're drawn closer to the Lord personally, there's a ripple effect of prayer that takes place that doesn't only affect our lives, but it affects those that are around us. And as a church, as we're drawn closer to the Lord, there's a ripple effect that we want to see God accomplish everything that he's planned for us. How many of you want to see God accomplish everything he's purposed in your life? I know that's why you're here, and that's what he wants. And so as we think about the ripple effect, there's four things that I'd like to mention this morning. First of all, God relishes it when we express prayer. He absolutely relishes it. Prayer is not just a short order thing. Prayer doesn't just kind of last even the duration of our lives, but prayer is an eternal thing. And we know this because when we get a picture of God's throne room in heaven, which heaven is unlike anything that we've ever seen or anything that we can really understand on earth, the Bible tells us that. But when we get a picture of God's throne room in heaven, we get a picture of what your prayers are like. There was a scene in heaven where there was nobody that could open the scroll, and so there was a great weeping that was going on, but then the Lamb came forward. And when he took the scroll, the four living beings and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and here it is now, and they held gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of God's people. So your prayers are something that God relishes. It doesn't say gold bowls with a little bit of incense in them. No, but your prayers are around the throne room of God, around the very presence of God, around the very worship of God, your prayers are filling up the atmosphere of God's throne and your Father. He relishes it when you pray. He relishes it when people call upon his name all over the earth. Now that word relish, it means to like the taste or flavor of. Now I'm not quite sure what eternity perfume smells like, because I know that my wife, she doesn't wear eternity perfume, but I did put that picture up there simply because I like the word eternity. God relishes it when you pray, and prayer is an eternal offering to God. Prayer is an eternal thing. When you pray, it's an eternal effect that takes place. Now, those of you that that do wear perfume or cologne, you know that if it's worn properly, that it can be winsome. If it's worn properly, that it can be something that's attractive, and it's something that's pleasing. Well, God just loves prayer. And the truth is, with perfume, if you put too much on, it's not winsome, is it? Like, if you got too much on, well, let me put it this way. Anybody remember Pigpen and Charlie Brown? You put on too much perfume, it's like that. You walk into the room, people start falling over, you know. But not with prayer. With prayer, the more that there is, the more God relishes it. The more prayer that goes up to the throne of heaven, the more those golden bowls are filled. And God just loves it when you pray. God the Father relishes every single one of your prayers. So when we understand that the ripple effect of prayer is that God relishes it, and that it's pleasing to him to have a liking for, to savor, or give an agreeable taste or flavor, then we realize that Jesus actually asks us to publicize our need to him. Now, there was a story in the Bible of two blind men, and these two blind men had this great need, and they heard that Jesus was going by. And so when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted out upon his mercy, and they cried out to the Lord, and it was interesting that the crowd told them to be quiet. They said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us." And the crowd said, "Just be quiet." You see, they were used to seeing those blind men. They were there every day doing the same thing, begging because they were blind, and they'd throw, maybe they said, "Be quiet," and they gave them, you know, a nickel or a quarter or maybe even a loony or a toonie. "Just be quiet. Don't bother the master." But this didn't dissuade them. And do you know what happens with our prayers when we're continually praying about something? Sometimes somebody says, "You know what, Pastor, that'll never work. No, that's not gonna be effective. Don't listen, we've tried that before. You might as well give up. Just be quiet." But these two blind men, thank God they were not quiet. Even though the crowd dissuaded them, and I want to tell you something, if God's put something in your heart, God relishes it when you pray. And God wants you to publicize your prayer to him. God wants you to keep raising that prayer up to him. And somebody might say, "It's not going to work. We've tried that before. You should just stop asking." Don't you stop, because these two blind men didn't stop. They shouted all the more, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on us." And when Jesus heard them, he stopped. And isn't it interesting, when the answer begins to come, the doubters and the dissuaders and the fear-mongerers, the same ones that said, "Be quiet," they said, "Hey, cheer up. Jesus is coming. Come on over here, Jesus, here they are." When Jesus heard them, he stopped and he called, "What do you want me to do for you?" And can I tell you that the Lord relishes your prayer today? And can I tell you exactly what he's asking you today? He's asking you, "What do you want me to do for you?" He wants you to publicize what it is that you want from him. You know, it might be that these two blind men could have said, "Well, isn't that obvious? We're blind." No, that's not what they said. Because you see, they understood, even though that the crowd didn't understand them, they understood that Jesus Christ is passionate. He's passionate, friends, about the things that pain your heart. Jesus is passionate about what you are going through. And so they replied to him. They said, "Lord, we want to see." And I love what happened next. Jesus could have said, "See." He could have just said, "See," and they would have seen. But that's not what happened. "Lord," they said, "we want to see." And Jesus felt. Would you please say, "Jesus felt"? Say that again. And one more time, can I tell you something about your prayers? Jesus feels what you're going through. Jesus knows what you're going through. Jesus is compassionate for those things that pain your heart. Jesus felt sorry for them. Jesus is passionate about what you are going through. Jesus felt sorry for them, and he touched their eyes, and instantly they could see, and this is the most important thing, then they followed Jesus. I mean, the most important thing wasn't that they got healed of their physical sight. You remember when Jesus healed 10 lepers and they didn't all follow him? Only one came back, and Jesus said, where's the rest? Where are the rest? The most important thing is that they followed after Jesus. And so when you understand that the ripple effect of prayer is that God loves it when you pray. He relishes it when we express prayer. And he wants you to continue to publicize your need. He's passionate about what you're going through. But it doesn't always happen instantly. In fact, it usually doesn't happen instantly in our hearts. Usually we got to keep on asking. We got to keep on going before the Lord. We got to keep on pressing through like those blind men. We got to keep on believing. And the truth is, with God relishing your prayers, is that God wants us to continually press in with our requests. Now, this is my youngest daughter, Molly, if you haven't met her. And this is last summer as we were going from Sudbury to Toronto. And Molly travels with us in our economy fare. We put her in. She's got her little basket there. We put her in the basket. We slide her under the seat, and she's as good as gold. But it wasn't always that way with Molly. In fact, when Molly came into our family, I had no say in it whatsoever. It was my youngest daughter, Rebecca, at that time, you see, because when we got Molly, she was kind of newborn. She was a puppy, and so that's why she's now our youngest daughter. But our youngest daughter, Rebecca, went out with her mother. They drove all the way to Vegreville, and they picked up this puppy. And I was at home, and they brought, I had no idea. This puppy came in the door, and I'll tell you, just between the two of us, don't tell anybody, the first thing she did is she peed on the floor as soon as she came in and saw me. And so then they told us that we have this new addition to the family. And I said, that's fine. I mean, what am I going to do? They went out, they bought the dog. The dog's there. Beautiful, you know, little puppy, Maltese poodle. And so I said, there's some conditions if the dog's going to be a part of this family. She's not going to sit on our furniture. She is not going to be fed from the table. And she will not come on our bed. Fine. Does anybody have a dog? Okay, well, let's park this story for a minute anyways. And so there's this story in the Bible about this lady who comes to Jesus with a very significant prayer request. She says, Jesus, my daughter is demon-possessed. Will you heal her? Now, at this moment, Jesus and his disciples were going away because they'd been very busy in ministry. So they were going away to a quiet place. Jesus said, hey, let's go away. You guys are tired. You need some rest. See, you need some rest. There you go. And so there they went together. They said, thank God we're going to have some rest. So they get to the place where they're going to have some food. They sit down. They come to the table. And you know what happens? A woman walks in. Not only a woman, which was taboo, but a Gentile woman walks in. And this Gentile woman gives this request to Jesus. Jesus, please, would you heal my daughter? She's possessed by a demon. Does that seem like a reasonable request? You know what happens? Nothing. Jesus saw her. He heard her. Nothing happens. So she says it again, Lord, I need you to heal my daughter, please. And she worships him. Would you heal my daughter? And you know what Jesus says? Nothing. But the disciples speak up. They kind of speak up like the crowd did. They said, Jesus, would you send this woman away? Because she's bothering us. But she doesn't. She presses in some more. She presses into the Lord. You see, God wants us to continually press in with our requests. I would think that most of us, if we came to Jesus, said that need, he said nothing. And then if his disciples said, Jesus, would you send her away? She's bothering. I think most of us would be gone, but not this woman. Thank God. No, she stayed, and then she said, Jesus, would you please come and heal my daughter? She's possessed by a demon. And now Jesus finally says something. He says, this is the first word Jesus says to her. You know, it's not right. It's not right to take the children's food and give it to the dogs. Now, some of us might think, wow, that's pretty mean, but it really wasn't. You see, because Jesus was trying to teach his disciples something. This is why he was waiting. You see, the disciples were all Jewish. And the Jewish people looked at Gentiles as people who were not a part of the promises of God. In fact, some of the Jewish people even called the Gentiles Gentile dogs. And Jesus said to this lady, it's not right to take the children's bread and feed it to the dogs. And the disciples were saying, that's right. We're the children of the promise. And I love this lady's response. Well, that's true, Lord. That's true. But even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table. And you know what Jesus said? Your daughter's healed. But it took some perseverance. Oh, by the way, back to my story about my youngest daughter. She sleeps in our bed. She goes on whatever furniture she wants. And she doesn't get any scraps from our table. We cut up the best parts and put them down there. You know why? Because she's part of our family. That's why. God wants us to continually press in with our requests. And listen to me, God relishes it. He loves it when you pray. When you understand the ripple effect of prayer, you understand, secondly, that God releases his power through prayer. God releases his power through prayer. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. You see, Zerubbabel was going to rebuild the temple, and you know what people were saying? Oh, we've tried that before. Yeah, we've tried that, and we failed before. Oh my goodness, and you've hardly got anything started. What a joke. You think God's going to bless that? Do you know what, friends? When you understand the ripple effect of prayer, you understand that God releases his power through prayer. And when you're on the plumb line of doing the will of God, don't despise small beginnings. Somebody said this, little is much when God is in it. Has God put something in your heart? Has God given you a dream? Has God given you a vision? Don't despise small beginnings because God releases his power through prayer. And let me say something about God's will in your life and God's will in the life of this church. There's nothing small about the will of God in your life. Absolutely nothing. It might look small, but it's big. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. If you have faith even as small as a mustard seed, I thought about bringing mustard seeds today, but I didn't. But they're small. Anybody know how small a mustard seed is? It's really small. If you got faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there. And it will move. Nothing would be impossible. And I want you to know that as you're plumb lining the will of God for your life, as you're moving out in faith, and what is faith? Faith is that God will take this small obedience, that God will take this small seed, and that mountain is going to move as I speak to it in the name of Jesus, because that's the will of God. There's nothing small about God's will in your life. And furthermore, when you understand that God releases his power through prayer, the smile of God is on your life when you trust his word. When you trust in what God said he's going to do, God smiles upon you. There was a man, and he also had a request. He was a Roman centurion. I like this because I'm kind of a Canadian, but I've got Italian and German blood, and he was over the Italian regiment, so I kind of like this. He was a Roman centurion, and he comes to Jesus, and he gives him this need about a healing that needs to take place. So Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. And he says, no, you don't have to do that. You don't have to come. I'm not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word. Just say the word right here from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I'm under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my servants. I tell this one to go, and he goes. I tell this one to come, and he comes. I tell those ones to move, and they move. So Jesus, just speak the word. And Jesus goes, wow. I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. And he says, your request has been granted. And so let me tell you something, Christian, today. There's nothing that's too small that God's working in your life. And when you speak God's word, his smile is upon your heart. When you speak God's word, when you step out on faith, you know that God is going to come through for you. When you understand that God releases his power through prayer. And it's important that we understand as well that one day when we get to heaven, all of these old things that pull at us sometimes, they're going to be done away with. But sometimes, friends, when we're in the heat of the storm, when we're in the middle of the battle, when we're in a desert season of our life, we need to understand that God's grace will keep you when you're suffering for Christ. When you're suffering, God's grace will keep you. The Apostle Paul was a wonderful servant of the Lord, and Paul had this revealed to him, that there was a messenger from Satan that was a thorn in his side. And Paul said, three times I pleaded, three different times I begged with the Lord. I mean, wouldn't you do that? If God revealed to you that there's a messenger from Satan that's a thorn in your flesh, well, you'd just think, well, that can't be God's will. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away, and every time he said, my grace is all you need. And so, friends, when we go through a season of suffering, if we're taking up our cross and if we're following Christ and if we're identifying with the sufferings of Christ, God says this, my grace will be enough. My power works best in weakness. When we're thinking about the ripple effect of prayer, the third thing that we understand is that God's work reaches beyond us. God's work reaches way beyond us. You see, my prayers, when I pray them, as faith-filled as they might be, they're limited to my human understanding. They're limited, really, to my existence. They're limited to what I see in my life, but God's not like that. You see, when he receives those prayers and they go into those golden bowls of incense, those prayers become eternal. Now, I want to take a survey today, and I want all of you that are here to participate with me, please. And when I ask you to do this, if the answer is yes, I want you to hold up your hand high. How many of you are here and you have a relationship with Christ and you have in your family lineage a praying mother or a praying father? Hold your hand up high. Keep it up. High. And look around, friends. Look around. I mean, there's a good number of us. Thank you for doing that. And so we need to understand, as we understand the ripple effect of prayer, that God's work reaches beyond us. And God's blessing, by the way, is to go from generation to generation to generation. God's promise is for your children, your children's children, and listen, all that the Lord will call. So, I mean, if the Lord tarries another 1,000 years, which is only, by the way, one day, if 3,019 takes place, that's only one day on God's calendar. If he tarries another 1,000 years, your prayers could be answered, even though you'll already be up in heaven. And he said this, Paul did, to his son in the faith. I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know that this same faith continues strong. Would you please say strong? I want you to know that when you study revivals or movements of God, that historically, after the third generation, the revival dissipates. After the third generation, you know, God raises up another people. We were having district conference this week, and one of our speakers was speaking, and he was saying, you know, it's 100 years since God raised us up as the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. And if we don't do what God's calling us to do, God will raise up somebody else. But I like what it says here. You see, the prayers of God's people are effectual. And Paul, here it says, here's three generation. And he says, this faith continues strong. And so for those of you that maybe you have three or four or five generations going back, don't say that it was my grandmother who prayed hard and she had the strong faith. No, this faith continues strong in you. If you happen to be the first generation in your family and you're thinking, man, I come from a Buddhist background or I come from an irreligious background or I don't even have anybody in my family, understand that God's work reaches beyond you and God is going to use you and use your prayers and God is going to pour his blessing out through your life. If you believe that with me, would you say amen? So, child of God, things are looking up. Things are not looking down. Things won't be worse. Things aren't going to be badder. They're going to be better. They're going to be better. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? No, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. I want to tell you, every time I go into the mountains, I still am in awe. Every time I go into the mountains, I still am amazed, and they make me think of God. But my help doesn't come from those mountains. My help comes from the Lord. And so I love what happens when you look up. You see, when you're looking down, you're kind of hunched over. And you know what you see?
What do I see when I'm looking down? What do I see? Well, I see something. What is it? I see my feet, but what are my feet? I see me. I just see myself. It's me, myself, mine, and I just draw this circle around me, and it's like, oh, I got to protect all. But you know what happens when I look up? Oh, there you are. I see you. And when I look up, I see God. And God's bigger than, and I see the world. I see the world that God said he loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son. And there's a mission for us as the people of God. So things are looking up, friends. Things are not looking down for us as children of God. God's work reaches far, far beyond us. And God is calling us today to remember the works of the Lord. Remember who God is. Remember what God has done. And remember what God has promised to do. You know, when the Lord led his people into the promised land and when his presence opened up the Jordan River, he said this, in your future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? They took some stones from the middle of the river. They set them up. What do these stones mean? You can tell them. They remind us. And would you remind yourself of the answers that God has given to you? Would you remind yourself of the faithfulness of God, how he has met your need in that moment in time? They remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's covenant went across. When you understand the ripple effect of prayer, the fourth thing that I trust will remain with us. Because as we began this journey of the circle of prayer, I said, I know that you pray, but would you ask God to help you to pray more in these 40 days? The fourth thing that I trust will stay with us is this. God desires us to pray regularly. God desires us to pray regularly. Speaking of Cornelius, who was the household that God revealed his grace to the Gentiles in, it says he was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. He gave generously to the poor, and he prayed regularly to God. God wants us to pray regularly. Jesus wants us to be consistent in the place of our prayers. He wants us to ask, and when we ask, we're going to receive. He wants us to seek, and when we seek, we're going to find. He wants us to knock, and when we knock, the door is going to be open, but he wants us to keep on asking. So it's not just ask once. And the Greek there is very emphatic. He wants us to keep on asking, and then you're going to receive what you ask for. He wants us to keep on seeking. You might be saying, well, I've been seeking for 10 years. Good, keep seeking. It's been 30 years. Good, keep seeking. It's his will. Keep seeking. It's 40 years. It's 50 years. Good, keep seeking. Keep on seeking and you're going to find. He wants you to keep on knocking. It's an emphatic in the Greek language. Keep on knocking and the door will be open. Jesus wants us to be consistent in our prayers. And Paul tells us to pray continually for everything. You know what I love about praying? If you keep on praying, you're going to be in the place of belief. You'll be believing. You're not going to be doubting. If you keep praying, you're going to be believing. And Paul wants us to keep on praying continually for everything. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. And so today, once again, I mean, this is not unusual for us. Today, once again, do you know what we're going to do? We're going to put our confidence in God. Once again. Like, where else can we go? To whom else can we turn to? Today, once again, we're going to put our confidence in God. So here's our great opportunity. Don't worry about anything. I just want to check. Is there anybody here and there's something you could worry about? Can I see a hand? Is there anybody? Yeah, there's a few of us. Well, here's the wonderful opportunity. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can ever understand. I don't know if you've looked at someone and perhaps they're going through a challenge or a test or a trial, and you've said, not to them, but you've said to someone, I don't know how they're doing it. I don't know how they're making it. Well, this is how they're making it, just like this. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Can I ask the board members to come at this time, please? Because we want to close off this 40 days of prayer with an opportunity to just anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord, to pray over you, to let faith, to let the ripple effect of prayer rise up and to raise the level of faith in the harbor so all the boats will rise up. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer, please? Father, we thank you for this brand new year. We thank you for these 5 weeks where we've been drawing the circle of prayer. And today we specifically thank you for the ripple effect of prayer. We thank you, Lord, that you relish it when we pray. You just love it. So what we're doing today and what we're going to do right now, I mean, you're looking forward to this. You're excited about this. God, you just savor this. This rises up into your throne. And not only do you relish it when we pray, but God, we thank you that you release your power. When we pray together, when we agree together, when we trust you, when we keep knocking and asking and seeking, Lord, we thank you that you release your power. And Lord, we thank you. We know we're limited and we don't really know sometimes what to pray for, but we thank you that our prayers, they reach way beyond us. They reach way beyond us. They go from generation to generation to generation. So thank you, Lord, that all that we're going to do right now as we respond to your word is we're just doing what we do as your children. We're praying with a regularity. A regularity. We're praying regularly. And so we thank you for the strength of your word. And we hear this morning your admonition to our hearts. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. And that's what we're going to do. Such a prayer, offered in faith, will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you've committed any sins, you will be forgiven. So confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. So right now, what is it that God has placed in your heart that you need to trust him for? I want you to know that nothing is impossible as we believe. Would you stand? And you can begin to come, and we're just going to sing a song, and then we're going to agree with you in the place of prayer. So as you come this morning and you're anointed, you just be anointed in the name of Jesus and let faith rise up in your heart today.